The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, KNSN, DJRD Broadcasting, Crawford Media Group, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody!
I've got sunshine on a cloudy day. When it's cold outside, I've got the month of May.
Here's what's coming up on today's experience. Dr. Dave's Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show which have nothing to do with life, but the Bible teaches there's a time to laugh. The review of the goofy news, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. Pretty sure everybody knows that. Life lessons for our faith we could actually use. Probably won't if we sit on our blessed assurance. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Good question. Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is Dr. David Spoon, and I will be your host for the next 5,400,000 milliseconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen, and we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk hope with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian. Here's a good question. What impacts you the most in order for you to be calm? Ooh. What impacts you the most in order for you to be calm? Now, we've got a couple things changing up, so listen to me carefully. If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, please don't let it die of loneliness because we feel in our hearts that would be sad. All you got to do is reach out to us. You can call 972-445-0770. Let me repeat that again because sometimes they say it really fast and it goes by people. 972-445-0770. So whether you're in San Diego right now and it's 11:34, or whether you're in Dallas and it's 1:34, or somewhere on the moon, and I don't know, because I don't know what the time is up at the moon. Here it is. You can just call us at 972-445-0770. Normally, you can text us. Ding, ding, ding. But not today. And you're thinking, what? We can't answer trivia questions today by text? Nope. Can we ask prayer requests by text? Nope. Can we send you information about different recipes by text? Nope. Because my phone said, I am off to meet my maker. That's it.
Yeah, it said, I'm done working now.
5 in the morning, it just said, giving up the ghost, see ya. So I do have an appointment later this afternoon to either try and get a replacement or have to get a different phone. But the nicest way I can say this is there'll be no texting today. I'm sorry, folks. I can't do anything about that. Because there's many things that I pray about, many things that I pursue, but my brilliance in technology, as my wife loves to say, my name is Magneto, because anytime I touch anything electronic, it gets destroyed. In the meantime, you can still call. Oh, that's going to put some people in that ooh, scary thing. 972-445-0770. And you can email us. So you can call or email. Just can't do text. Email, still got that in front of me. Email is david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. D-A-V-I-D. That's my name, David. at, the A with the goofy circle, hemustincrease.org. So for those that want to know what's going on, just keeping it as simple as I can, no texting today. We should be back on track tomorrow, depending on how that goes. Hey, you know what? I have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow, but I know him who brings tomorrow. That is the difference. Get that? All right. We're still doing trivia. Just can't text in the answer or can't do anything via my phone. And so if anybody wants to call me, that ain't going to work, just to make it simple. Let's get right into the text. We don't have time to mess around. We're in the Bible, the Word of God, Matthew chapter 14, and we have just finished one of the most phenomenal teachings that come to us from the Lord in Matthew 14. We just talked about Peter. He was on the water. He was walking on the water. We made sure everybody understood 10,000 manuscripts in the New Testament from all of our historical evidence, which is 9,400 more than any other piece of literature, just to give you that little nugget right there. And they all said Peter walked on the water. Jesus was not the only person to walk on the water. He was the only person to walk on the water and not sink, but Peter also walked on the water. Just making sure you understand that. So after he began to sink, we pick it up. Jesus, of course, saves Peter, and we'll pick it up from that moment. In verse 31 of Matthew 14, it says this: instantly, Jesus reached out his hand and grabbed him. "You don't have much faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" So therein lies a great teaching for all of us, but I want you to catch the little things, and then we'll move forward on it. The little things are Jesus was close enough to Peter that even though Peter thought he was going to drown, he was wrong, because Jesus was that close to Peter. Many of you are out there, and you're going through circumstances and tough situations, and you think you're going to drown, and you're wrong. The Lord is so close to you, he just needs to scoop you up with his hand. Don't worry about his proximity. He is always there for us. That goes without saying. What he does, though, is he says something very challenging to Peter and very challenging to us personally in our faith. He says, "You don't have much faith. Why did you doubt? O ye of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Giving you the King James Version at the same time. Here it is. You don't have a lot of faith. You're just not operating in a lot of faith. What are you trying to tell me, Jesus, that if I had more faith, I could have lasted longer on the water? Yes. What are you trying to tell me, Jesus, that if I had less doubt, I would have lasted longer on the water? Yes. Jesus is trying to tell you and I, you have to have faith, an active faith. And when we allow doubt to be next to our faith, we diminish the power of that faith. So what people do is they say, "Oh, I got like 3 or 4 ounces of faith, but yeah, I also got about 3 ounces of doubt." Well, that doesn't leave very much faith, does it? And so we've got to have faith that's so much greater that it stands on its own, not quenched or overwhelmed by the doubt. And so he says something. It's not that he's rebuking him as much as he's like, "Dude, you had it. You lost it. Why did you do that?" And many of us go through trials and we have it. And we're standing on top of it. And then we lose it. And most of the time, it's the same reason that it happened to Peter. He took his eyes off of Jesus and started looking at the waves and listening to the wind. And it took the sails out for him. And that's what we do. We get so focused on what we're dealing with. We're so focused on our circumstances. Somebody asked me the other day, you know, how do you change that? You don't give it the mind. You don't give the situation the mind time that you're giving it. Because you give it so much mind time. Which is amazing because Jesus is trying to teach us to be heavenly minded. And we give our situation so much mind time that it robs us of our faith. And so they get back into the boat. What is it that happens when they get back into the boat? Because he reaches out his hand. "Why did you doubt?" Verse 32, he says, when they climb back into the boat, which to me implies that they actually either walked across the water or something. Doesn't sound like they floated to me. That's just my take on that. But Jesus, then when they climbed back in the boat, the wind stopped. I find that to be a fascinating part of the story because they get into the boat, it's over. Why? Well, now they know Jesus is right there in the midst of them, and now things are changing. Then, verse 33, the disciples worshiped him. "You really are the Son of God," they exclaimed. So Jesus rescues Peter from drowning in the water. They safely get back in the boat. So the point of truth is that Jesus is so close that he can use his hands to pull us up out of the water, get us back into a place of safety. That's how close he is. After this mind blower, the disciples start catching on to the deeper part of Jesus. He is God. And as God, he is to be worshiped as God. Again, there's a new documentary out, How Jesus Became God. Wrong. That's a wrong documentary. Don't even bother. Why? Because Jesus always was God. That's the problem. He didn't become God. And see, those kind of things right there, that just tells you, wrong. Stay away. Nope, not going to do it. And so what we understand is they get this handle. You really are the Son of God. We get it. We get it. We've never seen anything like that. Nobody's ever walked on water. Nobody's ever done what you just did. It's just incredible. And I don't think it's a small thing that Jesus gets back into the boat and all of a sudden everything is calm. He gets in the boat. It's like, it's over. Everybody calm down now. Take a deep breath. So look what it says. This is now we go into that next verse, verse 34 of Matthew 14. After they had crossed the lake, they landed at Gennesaret. The news of his arrival spread quickly throughout the whole surrounding area. And soon people were bringing all their sick to be healed. Okay, I'm going to read that again because how important this is. They get back across, they get back to the land of the Gennesaret. Sorry, I always mess that up. And so the news of their arrival spreads quickly, and that's what I want you to catch. They land there, they're together, Jesus, the disciples, the news spreads quickly. Throughout the whole surrounding area, people are bringing their sick to be healed. The sick begged him to let them touch him, even the fringe of his robe. Just let me touch the fringe of your robe. I just got to get close enough to touch you. And all who touched it were healed. Couple things to tell you about that. We'll talk about the healing part in a second, but I want you to catch this. The reputation of Jesus, listen to what I'm going to say to you. This is going to be a challenge for some of you. The reputation of Jesus was tightly bound up in his social media status and how many cool videos he could post. With all his Twitter followers and his Google websites, he was able to gain a decent following. Oops, that's not right. Let's see. God the Father was the marketing manager for Jesus, and in a snap of a finger, everyone was hungry for Jesus. Why? Because he was sharing the good news, healing, and helping those around him. They didn't have a newspaper or a media that shot out and gave Jesus a front page anything. When somebody so powerful enters the situation, word of mouth becomes the firestorm by which it spreads. There's some people that like social media and some people that don't. It doesn't matter. God could make a reputation and a name spread so quickly, it'll just catch you by surprise. And what do? They hear about Jesus. They're all excited. All of these people come to Jesus. They're begging him to let them touch even the fringe. So there's a whole group of people that say, well, you never have to beg the Lord or whatever. That's not scriptural. I mean, these people were begging. Jesus didn't rebuke them for that. But everybody who touched the fringe of his robe, all who touched it were healed. Why? Why did they have to touch the fringe of his robe? What was the deal there? They didn't have to touch the fringe per se. But the touching of the fringe was their point of contact of faith. And they thought, if we could just touch that robe, let's just touch that robe. Just let us touch your robe. And they had so much faith that if they just touched the robe, wow, they would be healed. And you know what? They were right. Don't get a lot of that in there, do you? They were right. They took that point of contact, that point of faith. Do you know that every one of us has some form or point of contact of faith? And this was that for them. Jesus comes he's walking on the water, saves Peter because he's so close, gets in the boat, the wind stops, they catch on, dude, you are the Son of God. It's like, that's right. They get to the land, their reputation precedes them. The Father, who's the best marketing manager ever, thank you, spreads the word. The people know what's going on. They come to be healed. Everybody that touches Jesus gets healed. How do you think that's going? How do you think his ministry is being received? How do you think people are responding? Powerful. This is the Jesus that called you by name. This is the same Jesus that challenged Saul on the road to Damascus. This is the same Jesus who's going to return with the calling of the archangel, with the heralding of the trumpet. This is the same Jesus who you said, yes, please forgive me, be my Lord and Savior. Same one. And Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Wow. How cool is that? All right, now take a deep breath. I was talking to Don, and I was reminding him when Jesus fed the 5,000, how he told people to sit down. Sit down. Relax. Here's your first trivia question. Please remember, there are no texts, because my phone doth not worketh. That's the King James version of it's broken. Which person, after spending time with the Lord God Almighty on the mountain, had to put a veil over his face? Which person, after spending time with the Lord God Almighty, had to put a veil over his face? Was that Moses, Joshua, or Aaron? Was it Moses, Joshua, or Aaron? If you think you know the answer, there are two ways to reach us. Two today. Tomorrow, hopefully three, but two today. You can call 972-445-0770. That is one way to reach us. Another way is you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So I will be completely forward about this and tell you either way. Either way should work is what kind of what I'm trying to tell you there. If you can either call or you can, what's the other thing? You can email. So you got those two things going on. That's kind of all what I'm trying to tell you right there. The question is pretty forward, right? It's not overly complex. It is simply, which man, after spending time with God on the mountain, had to put a veil over his face? Was that Moses, Joshua, or Aaron? And we do have people that are responding, and we think that's awesome. You are welcome to call, by the way, or you are welcome to send an email. Either way will work for us. Back to the text we go, as that first part was a lot of fun. Actually, that was fun, right? This part gets a little weirder, because now we're going into chapter 15 of Matthew, which, by the way, we're a little more than halfway through this book. We're doing it. We're getting it done, people. We're getting it done. Matthew chapter 15, verse 1. Some Pharisees and teachers of the religious law now arrived from Jerusalem to interview Jesus. Why do your disciples disobey our age-old traditions, they demanded. They ignore our traditions of ceremonial hand-washing before they eat. So after this wonderful experience, don't you know the enemy is not quiet? Don't you know that after you have a tremendous victory in the Lord, the enemy doesn't sit there and go, oh, well, I'll just give up on them? That's not quite how that happens. So now we get back to the happenings that are similar to today's society. The Pharisees, who were considered the experts in all things religious, managed to get an opportunity to interview Jesus. Here's the kick. They didn't interview Jesus because they were curious or wondering. Never forget that news with an agenda is propaganda. And by the nature of their question, they were hostile to Jesus and not really interested. in Jesus. Did you get that? Wow. How it seems so similar today, doesn't it? Right? By the nature of the questions that get asked, people aren't looking for the truth. They're looking for a story. It's sad. And they said to him, "Why do you do this?" And you know what they're saying? Listen to what they're saying. "Justify yourself and your disciples to our satisfaction." Isn't that the exact same spirit that's in the media now? The same thing? This little interview scenario? Justify yourself and your disciples to our satisfaction. That's what they wanted to hear. Some of the Pharisees and teachers of the religious law now arrive from Jerusalem to interview Jesus. "Why do your disciples disobey our age-old traditions?" they demanded. "They ignore our traditions of ceremonial hand-washing before they eat." You know, at this point, it was getting hard to nail Jesus down for something he did. So what is it the next step? Let's get the people that follow Jesus. We'll get people that follow that person. Then we'll show them what's right and what's wrong. And then Jesus does something that your English teacher from 1951 told you never to do. She was wrong, but that's what Jesus did. They asked Jesus a question. Verse 3 of chapter 15, Jesus replied, "And why do you, by your traditions, violate the direct commandments of God?" What did Jesus just do? He answered a question with a question. People are like, "Don't answer a question with a question. That's rude." No, it's actually, it's tactically very sound. And Jesus did it multiple times. And the English teacher who told you not to do that was wrong. Okay, let's just get that solved. He replies to them because they're trying to figure out why Jesus is allowing the ceremonial hand washing, the tradition, to be challenged before they eat. And what does Jesus say? It's very powerful. He says, look, he goes, "Why do you, by your traditions, violate the direct commandment of God?" So here's what you've got to understand just right at this moment. There's the command of God, and then there was the commentaries on the command of God. Then there was the next set of rules to keep you even farther away from the commands of God. And what mankind has done, or the people that are teaching the law, they were trying to create bubble after bubble after bubble to keep people away from breaking the commandment. But in doing so, they went so far they broke the actual commandments. So Jesus is like, "You use your traditions and you break the commandments of God. You don't even care. Because your traditions, Pharisees and teachers of the law and Sadducees, are contrary to the word of God." Now imagine if Jesus said that to a church. Oh boy. "Your traditions, church, are contrary to the commandments of God." Uh-oh. And then Jesus gives them an example, which is where he says in verse 4, "For instance," or by way of example, "God says, honor your father and mother, and anyone who speaks evil of your father and mother must be put to death." By the way, Jesus wasn't always opposed to death. I just want to point this out. He brings out this one commandment. If you speak against your mom or dad, you die. It was Jesus who brought that up, by the way, just making that point. "But you say you don't need to honor your parents by caring for their needs if you give the money to God instead." What was that all about? What does that got to do with anything? That means that if those people gave money to the church, wait, if those people gave money to the temple, that they didn't have to respect their mom and dad because they were giving money to the temple. Don't you know you always have to follow the money? Who was that giving an advantage to?
The people at the temple.
Of course that was the rules they made up. If you give money to us, it's okay. You don't have to give it to your folks because we're even better than your folks. That's not what the commandment says. But that's how they used it. That's how they took their traditions and they made money from them. So Jesus calls them on the carpet and says, you're breaching a commandment that has a penalty of death. And you're doing it so you can line your own pockets.
It's just like,
I'm just saying, I'm glad I wasn't a Pharisee at that particular time, because it would be like, uh-oh. Uh-oh. He's caught on to our scam. I don't know. I can't think of other places off the top of my head where people tell you that you can give money over here. You don't have to take care of anybody in your family. Just give it to us and it'll be morally okay. Okay. Just think of how these things are going. Jesus being challenged and challenging right back. He wasn't rude. He was just straightforward about the whole thing. Our trivia question, by the way, was simply this. Which man had to put a veil over his face after spending time with God in the mountains? Was it Moses? Was it Joshua? Or was it Aaron? And the answer, it was Moses. Moses had to wear a veil. He spent so much time with the Lord, so much time with the Son of God, he had a sunny reflection. Get it? All right. Now, if you're in San Diego, you can keep listening by going to hemusincrease.org and click on the Listen Live button. If you're in Dallas, stay where you are. We're going to take a short break, then come back. Don't go anywhere.
This KAAM radio show with your very own David Spoon is not a business, but a nonprofit ministry first and foremost committed to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and strategically equipping the saints. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Christian believers, the hurting, and those not yet believers who need biblical truths. To continue our radio ministry and message of truth, we need many of our faithful listeners to support us, as well as ministry partners who might wish to sponsor the He Must Increase ministry. By giving, you wonderfully facilitate our priorities of assertively teaching the Word of God, and you get nothing in return. No quid pro quo. Nothing but a receipt at year end indicating you gave to us, since your donation is 100% tax deductible. Remember that it says in Corinthians that whoever sows generously will also reap generously, or in Proverbs where it teaches that a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. But if you cannot give, no problem. Continue to enjoy and learn and give however you see fit whenever you can. To support us, go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Such support is terribly appreciated, knowing it enables our beloved David Spoon to give to all of us his time, energy, like so few can. Right here on KAAM.
The David Spoon Experience.
Teaching time. I don't know how we're going to do the breaks, Gabriel, so I'll just look at me. I'll let you know. I mean, this is the best I can tell you. Because I'm going to teach you something that I hope I there's no way I can teach this. I can't teach the worth. I can't teach the value. But I'm going to do my best to share with you my heart in this process. As American people, as people who live in America, we have been granted the right to pursue happiness. And I want to make sure you understand what this means. We have a preamble to the United States Declaration of Independence, and the preamble to the Declaration says, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Now, I do want to point out it does not say life, liberty, and the provisions of or for happiness. In other words, the rights that we have in the preamble is that we get to pursue happiness, not that it's provided for us by the government. So that's kind of an important point for people to recognize. It would be nice if they quit trying to quote our founding fathers and then say they're entitled to something because of that provision, because it never says that.